hospital passengers, the pilot of another abandoned plane, and a wounded woman named Monica Bagby. The two pilots, sources of the earlier messages, were almost equally incoherent in person. What they did manage to relate wasn't about a plane crash, but rather an attack at a remote airstrip. Earlier in the afternoon, the Cessna and a second craft, an Otter operated by Guyana Airways, flew to the tiny jungle outpost of Port Katuma to pick up a large party there, including a U.S. congressman, his staff, and some others. In all, there were 33 people waiting at the narrow landing strip, too many to fit in the planes, which had a combined capacity of 24. While the prospective passengers decided who would fly out immediately and who would have to wait for an additional plane, they were attacked by men with rifles and shotguns. The victims in the attack were unarmed, and the result was sheer slaughter. The Otter was so riddled with bullets during the barrage that one of its twin engines was destroyed. Its tires were flattened, and it couldn't fly. Its pilot fled to the Cessna, which was still operational. The Cessna pilot, feeling helpless to intervene and wanting to save his own life, taxied from the gunfire and bodies and flew away, taking with him the Otter pilot and a woman who'd been wounded when the attack began as she boarded the Cessna. Now at Ogle, they described the gruesome scene at the Port Katuma airstrip. One of the certain dead there was the congressman, and also some reporters who were with him. Other attack victims were badly wounded. Those who suffered slight injuries or seemed initially unscathed ran into the jungle. The witnesses at Ogle didn't know whether the one-sided firefight ended then or not. There were so many men with guns, lots of fallen bodies, pools of blood. Their account was immediately relayed to the office of Prime Minister Forbes Burnham. Although the details were sketchy, there were enough to confirm where the slaughter must have been instigated. Jonestown. For more than 4 years, members of an American group called People's Temple had been carving out a 3,000-acre farm community in the heart of the near-impenetrable jungle. The spot was about 6 miles from Port Katuma. They'd named the settlement for their leader, Jim Jones. The Guyanese government initially welcomed the newcomers. A colony of Americans in Guyana's northwest district provided a welcome barrier to intrusions by Venezuela, which claimed much of that region and sometimes threatened invasion. But Jones and his followers soon proved troublesome. They set up schools and a medical clinic without regard to the regulations of their new home country and protested when ordered to comply with Guyanese policies. Jones had legal problems back in America that spilled over into Guyanese courts, and most irritating of all, relatives of some Jonestown residents claimed that their family members were being held there against their will. Leo Ryan, a U.S. congressman from the Bay Area of California, inconvenienced the Guyanese government by insisting that he visit Jonestown to investigate. A few days previously, Ryan had arrived in Guyana with a TV crew and print reporters in tow, along with some of those raising the ruckus, concerned relatives, they called their organization. The visit was messy from the beginning. Jones said he wouldn't let Ryan, the media, or the concerned relatives into Jonestown. Ryan made it obvious he'd go there anyway and demand entrance, with the press recording it all and making Guyana look foolish and primitive to the whole world. After much negotiation, Jones grudgingly agreed to let Ryan and some others in. They'd flown out of Georgetown on Friday, November 17th, in the company of a staffer from the U.S. Embassy who'd reported back that night that things were going well. And now this. There were difficulties maintaining direct radio communication between Georgetown and Port Katuma. Besides the near incoherent initial testimony from the three attack survivors in the Cessna, no one in Georgetown had access to additional information. They had to guess what might be happening with only one thing certain: the United States government would be furious. Guyana was a proud, though economically struggling, socialist nation. Still, its geographic proximity, as well as reluctant pragmatic acceptance of American power, made it crucial to get along with the United States. If a U.S. congressman was really dead, the American government might very well send in troops, and that violation of Guyanese sovereignty with its potential for international humiliation couldn't be risked. About 7 p.m. on Saturday, Prime Minister Burnham convened a meeting in his office with John Burke, the U.S. ambassador. He also included his top ministers and officers of the GDF and the National Service, Guyana's military training program for teens. The National Service had a jungle camp about 40 miles from Jonestown. Burnham told Burke what little he knew. It was impossible, the Prime Minister said, to do much immediately. It was virtually impossible to land a plane at Port Katuma after dark,